Okay, again, welcome. Glad that you are here. For those of you that are watching online or maybe tuning in later, listening to the podcast, welcome. I'm Pastor Brian Foreman, and we are Cornerstone Community Church. We inspire and equip you to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, and that's what we're doing today and every day here at Cornerstone. Again, I'll mention checking in. While we were singing, I remembered where the hospitality bin was. So we have pens, we have Bibles, we have check-in cards if you want to go old school. So check out the red bins and what is in them and next them to them if you're here on site. As I mentioned, we're doing a series called As I Follow Christ. And I'm going to give you just the brief run through of where the ground that we have covered already. It's all about the idea of discipleship. What does it mean to follow Christ and how do we do it? And discipleship really is apprenticeship. It's not so much gaining head knowledge, it's figuring out how to do it, the skills of how we follow Jesus. And how does that happen? It happens as we follow him and we learn from one another. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1 said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So what should be happening is every one of us that is following Jesus, we should have our eyes fixed and focused on Jesus, doing what he would do, living the life that he has given us. But we also are in a family. It's not a Lone Ranger kind of deal. So we encourage one another. We share ideas. We go through experiences and then talk about those experiences with others. So that's what this series is all about. And we've said before that it's not that I know everything and I'm going to just take care of you, but each of us has a little something that we can share. And discipleship, apprenticeship, is my taking what I know and pouring it into your life. Now, it might not be enough to fill your cup, but I'm going to empty mine, and that's what this series is all about. From that overview, we went to the message Spur Me On, where we talked about worshiping together weekly. The church assembles. Now, that's what the word church means. It's an assembly. We gather together. But it's not just so that we can be under the same roof, whichever roof that happens to be. There's a purpose behind it. We consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So when we get together, there's just some kind of a synergy effect, and we encourage one another. We spur one another on. Then on Pentecost Sunday, we talked about the absolute necessity of the power of the Holy Spirit. The power to live the life you want is found in a person. In fact, it is impossible, not virtually impossible, not almost impossible. It is impossible to follow Jesus effectively without the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. What are the many things that the Spirit does for us? I'll just remind you of a couple. The first thing is that he seals us. He puts his seal of ownership on believers. It says, "And when you believed in Christ, he identified you, sealed you as his own with the Holy Spirit." The other thing that the Holy Spirit does is he is our guarantee. He is the earnest. He is the one that his presence is the promise that what Jesus began in us, he will carry it through to completion. The way it's talked about in Ephesians is the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. Then last week we began talking about what we do on a daily basis, the habits and rhythms of life of a follower of Jesus in the message, Give Me Insight. And we said that if we are following Jesus daily, there's not much more you could do that would be more helpful than have an established practice of reading and responding to God's word. Bottom line for the week was read it, heed it, and you will believe it. And that last point was just about believing it was kind of something that I went through pretty quickly. But it's worth reminding and pausing to think about again. What Jesus said was, anyone who chooses to do the will of God. This is when he was been challenged by his detractors about his authority and the things that he was teaching. And he said, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. In other words, if you really want to know whether Christianity is true, if you want to know if Jesus is who he said he was, then you start doing what he said and you will find out. And we said that we do that in large part through reading and responding to God's word. It's God's wisdom to see things as God sees. In other words, to see the world from his perspective. And we do that by reading and responding to God's word. So continuing along in that kind of theme, my question for today is, what's the best way to get the most insight from God's word? And you might remember that all throughout this series, at the end, I'll give you 3, 5, 7 particular things that I do or tips that I've learned along the way that I can share with you. Today is very simple. It's one tip, one idea, and that is, as the message is called, to write, W-R-I-T-E, on. In other words, the best way that I've found to get the most insight from God's word is that responding part of the equation, reading and responding. And part of the way I respond is I write on a daily basis in a life journal, is what it's been called. It's just my time where I focus in on God's word and write out what I'm learning. So what we're really talking about, though, is the concept of meditation. Now, meditation can have a lot of different meanings depending on what context you're coming from, but we're not talking about, you know, sitting and humming. We're not talking about anything kind of woo-woo or out there. The idea of meditation is to turn something over and over again in your mind. And as I often say, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate, right? Because if you're worrying, what are you doing? You're turning over and over in your mind. You're constantly focused on thinking about all the ways that things could go wrong. When you are meditating on God's word, you're thinking about turning over in your mind all the truths that you have learned and how it impacts you and what you learn about God. So that's what we're talking about. And the best way that I know to meditate on God's word is to write about it. So here's an overview of the message. Number one, bottom line. Insight grows as the pen flows. Insight grows as the pen flows. I've had people constantly, because I've been talking about life journaling, I've been talking about reading and responding to God's word for decades. And very often, every once in a while, somebody will come back and circle back around and say, you were right. When I started writing, it was just like the insights multiplied. Now, like many people who grew up in the church, you were told, you know, you got to pray, you got to read your Bible on a daily basis, you should have a daily devotional time. That was something that I heard as a child over and over again. And when I started out, I would get like a little devotional booklet, and it would have a verse, and then it would have a couple of paragraphs talking about it, probably some kind of story related to it, and then a little quip at the bottom. You know, if you've read Our Daily Bread, you know what I'm describing. Nothing wrong with that. I love that. It has certainly served its purpose. And you've also been taught, you know, you should read the Bible. So you read the Bible, and you maybe read through the Bible in a year. Well, that's a lot of chapters a day. You read five or six chapters. You close the book. You go on from your day. And by the time you arrive at work, you probably would have a hard time telling somebody what you just read about. What this does is it changes that whole trajectory. Because as you write, as the pen flows, your insight will grow. So I'm going to tell you four parts to this message that will parallel what I do on a daily basis with my journaling. Daily basis, in other words, like I try to do it daily, right? You know, we've talked about this with the Bible recap. Don't beat yourself up if you miss a day or two. I've told you before, when vacations happen or family are visiting, it throws me all off track. The idea is don't stop. Just pick it up again and keep going. Four aspects. Number one, write the scripture. Number two, write what it rightly means. We'll come back to that, so don't worry about trying to get all of these. Write what it means for me, and write your father. And then the application step for this week is the same as last week, to read something and write something for 5 days this week. Doesn't have to be a lot, but try doing something. I'm going to read two passages to you. The first one is the one that I referenced earlier. Again, if you are doing the Bible recap, you will probably recognize this if you read it this week. The first one is from Proverbs chapter 9. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, so you can either follow along or you can just listen. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 to 6 and then 10 to 18. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved its 7 columns. She has prepared a great banquet, mixed the wines, and set the table. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come. She calls out from the heights overlooking the city, "Come in with me," she urges the simple. To those who lack judgment, she says, "Come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways behind and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment." Skip to verse 10. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. Folly. The woman named Folly is brash. She is ignorant and doesn't know it. She sits in the doorway on the heights overlooking the city. She calls out to men going by who are minding their own business, "Come in with me," she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, "Stolen water is refreshing. Food eaten in secret tastes the best. But little do they know that the dead are there. Her guests are in the depth of the grave." And then the second passage that I want to read to you is Psalm chapter 1. This is the entirety of the psalm. It's only 6 verses, foundational and good. Psalm chapter 1, again from the New Living Translation. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we look at your word today, I pray, Lord, that you would give us the insight that we need. I recognize that I am completely dependent on you. Your Holy Spirit has to speak. Your Holy Spirit inspired your word. Lord, take what goes on today and apply it to the hearts of every person watching, listening, here with us together right now. Lord, you know their situation, their need. You know how this needs to land for every single one of us. And so I pray, Lord, that you would speak personally, individually, undeniably to every person. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. 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 All right, so again, if you didn't catch it the first time, this is at the top of the page every day on the growth guide that we gather together. The bottom line is that insight grows as the pen flows. Now, part of what we're going to be talking about today is the idea that you can actually get direction, you can get insight, you can hear from God. And sometimes that can be a little bit scary, a little bit odd to people, but it shouldn't be to those who are followers of Jesus. This is not something odd or unusual. In fact, Jesus put it this way: my sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them real and eternal life. Other passages, it says that God's Holy Spirit resides in us so that we know his mind. We can, in essence, read God's mind. We have his word where he has revealed his word, and we are put in a family. You might remember that kind of the safeguards that I talked about is the three-legged stool, that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in each believer, has inspired the scriptures, and is indwelling us as the church as a whole, individually and as a whole. So when we want direction, when we want to get insight, it's good to check all those out, because you can't have a stool with just two legs. You're going to fall over. But that is the benefit of being in a body of believers, is you have all of those things and they kind of feed off of each other. The second thing is, why would we want this? There's wisdom for life. And notice that that's where this is going. It's life. Did you notice the contrast in Proverbs 9? It's death or it's life. And this is the way it's described in Psalm 1 that I just read. The people who are doing what? Meditating on God's word. They are like trees planted along the riverbank. What's the benefit of a tree if you're planted along a riverbank, right? You always have access to water. You're not dependent upon the vagaries of the weather or the season. You've always got nourishment, bearing fruit in each season. Most fruit trees have a season, one time out of the year. This is like you're going to be planted and you're going to be so well nourished, you're going to bear fruit year round. Their leaves never wither. We had some hot days this week. Many of you know that I'm from South Florida, and we used to have, well, on hot days, we would talk about just feeling wilted. You know, have you ever seen a plant that hasn't been watered? What does it look like? After a hot day, high humidity, you feel wilted. Their leaves never wither. They prosper in all they do. How would you like to have God's wisdom so that there's not, that every season is a fruitful season? All the time you have energy and you're being fed from within and you prosper in all you do. That's what we're aiming for. And insight grows. Wisdom is gained as the pen flows. So again, my one tip for today is write. Write as you are reading and responding to God's word. In your growth guide for today, you will find a little bookmark-shaped insert. And that is the life journaling process. So look at it later. It includes a reading plan. It includes the process that we're going to be going through. It calls it SOAP, Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. As we go through these 4 points, you'll see the parallels. That's what we are talking about. That's the outline for what is written in a notebook or wherever you do your journaling. So the first thing that I do is I write the scripture. Remember what it said in Psalm 1? In his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. Covering a lot of material I've talked about before, but when you write, when you pick a particular scripture, what that does is it slows you down and it focuses you in. I just had somebody write me after last week's message saying that was really helpful because I've started just writing out the scripture, and it does. It slows me down and focuses me in. I notice things that I wouldn't notice otherwise. I don't know if she said that, but that's my little extra there. But that's what happens. And what do you pick? Just pick. Some people kind of freak out about this. It's like, oh, I want to pick the right verse, or I don't know what to pick. Just pick something. Here's some things that'll help you. when you're doing the Bible recap, we pray these prayers. I know they're out of number. That's because I just picked 1, 3, and 4. There are 5. But these are good things to look for. We pray that God will give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Where have you seen that in the scripture? We pray that God will help us to see something new about him that we've never seen before. Where do you notice something new or something that was fresh that you hadn't noticed before? Lastly, in this list, correct any lies I believe about you or anything I misunderstand. Is there something that you've run across? You're like, oh, that's totally contrary to what I believed before. Maybe that will be helpful. You're praying for it. Wouldn't surprise me if you notice those kind of things. Then we went through, I've gone through a couple of times the experiencing God study. I thought this was helpful too. In their daily response, it says to pray and ask God to identify one or more statements he wants you to understand, learn, or practice. Just pray, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to practice? Or you can just ask yourself, well, what was the most meaningful thing I read? Meaningful statement or scripture that you read today? Just pick something, write it out. You will get the insight that you want. So we start with the scripture. Write the scripture. Then we write what it rightly means. This is the observation step. We are asking, What is it saying? In other words, if you were going to explain this to somebody else, how would you explain it? A couple of things to help with that is to look at it in context. Read it in context. Another thing is we've recommended before to get a study Bible. This is going to be helpful to you. We recommend the Life Application Study Bible. It has a lot of explanatory notes, and it helps you to apply it to life. Why do we want to do this? Because you need to understand if you're going to apply correctly. This is 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. If your kids did Awana, this is the verse organization is based on. Approved workers are not ashamed. Awana, that's what it's talking about. So good observation, this is why it's important. Good observation is the foundation for good application. If you take something out of context, if you misinterpret it because you're reading something that you're not familiar with, you can come to wrong conclusions. We don't want that to happen. We want it to be based on fact. That's why I think the Bible recap is great for people, whether you've been following Jesus for a long time or just getting started, because daily they give you a video that explains it and tells you what's going on. But make sure that you get some insight, and if you don't understand, ask questions, ask a friend, get a resource that is going to help you, because good observation is the foundation for good application. But something I haven't talked a lot about in this section before, and the Bible recap has been good for me when it comes to this observation section. Did you notice in Proverbs chapter 9, knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. And in the scriptures, knowledge can be just information, but it's also can be personal. It can be relational. And in the Bible recap, we look for the God shot. What do you learn about God? That snapshot that teaches you something about him and his character. And this is a good reminder that it's not just always searching for, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? But who is God? Who is he to me? What has he done for us? And so look for that God shot. Look for what it teaches you. What does this passage, what does this narrative, what does it tell us about who God is, about what he loves, about what he hates, about what he is like? Look for that. Because as you know who God is, then it will prompt the appropriate natural resulting response. And that's what we talk about next. Insight grows as the pen flows. You're going to write the scripture, write what it rightly means. And if you don't know what it means, then get help. But then the next part, the application section, is write what it means for me. Now, I've made for the fill in the blank on purpose, because we're not asking, what does it mean to me? Because everybody can come up with all kinds of ideas. But what we want is we want to learn in the observation part and then say, well, what does it mean for me? What's the result? So sometimes it means this. We looked at this last week. Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching. You're going to learn something you haven't learned before. It's helpful for rebuking. So we went and saw The Mandalorian and Grogu, that movie. And, you know, there's those little aliens that are really tiny and cute but look like old men. And when they are interacting with Grogu, because he can be kind of, mischievous sometimes, they'll say, bad baby, bad baby. They're getting rebuked, right? They're rebuking him. And sometimes we just need a rebuke. Stop that. That's the wrong direction. Go back. Teaching, rebuking, correcting. It's not so much that you're going in the absolute wrong direction and you need a rebuke. It's just correcting. You need a little course correction. And training in righteousness, training, apprenticeship, discipleship. Sometimes that's what we're talking about. A question that we come across in experiencing God. What does God want you to do in response to today's study? What does it mean for you? But then there's something else about it as well. It's, what does it mean for me as I think about what I've learned about God? In John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Back to that idea of knowledge being personal and relational sometimes, that's what we're talking about here. When God wanted to reveal himself fully to us, he didn't only give us a book. He made that book come alive in the person of his Son. And the way that we interact with him, the way that we learn about him, that's going to mean something for us. So when I read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. What does that mean for me? That if I'm a part of his flock, that he's always going to be watching over me. He's always going to be providing for me. It's not about I need to do something. It's about who God is to me and the relationship that we have with him. So in Proverbs chapter 9, that extended invitation from Lady Wisdom and Folly. Did you notice this? And this was kind of this came out of my journaling on this. It's a fascinating passage. I got so much more out of it just by writing my observations. Did you notice that Folly and Wisdom offer the same exact invitation to the same exact people? This is Proverbs 9:4. And this is Wisdom speaking. Come in with me, she urges the simple. Now, I just changed the slide. This is 9:16, and it's the invitation of Folly. Come in with me, she urges the simple. There's this parallelism there. And Wisdom has prepared everything. Folly has said, we'll just steal it and eat it in secret, right? And for Wisdom, she's calling out to the simple, to those who don't understand. And it's not a judgment. It's not an insult. It's just like, you know, you're young. You don't know yet. I want to bring you in and bring you along. Folly, on the other hand, says to the simple, you know, come with me. And the idea is not, I want to help you. It's, I want to take advantage of you. And this is something that I noted that was pointed out. This was new, fresh to me this week. This is from Folly's invitation. She calls out to men going by who are minding their own business. Another translation says, who go straight ahead on their paths. And I'm getting to how this app applied to me and how I teased out the application, what it meant for me in this segment. It's like, excuse me. Folly takes people who are on a mission, going in the right direction, heading straight down the path, And she wants to pull us off track, distract us, get us off course, doing something else. And I just never noticed that before. And so as I was thinking through that, I was like, okay, you know, wisdom has prepared everything. Wisdom wants to bring us along. Wisdom is out for our good. But folly just wants to distract us and keep us off track. And I'm thinking about, and one of the things I do in the application section is I ask myself questions. Sometimes I just write them out. I don't know exactly what it means yet, but I'll write myself questions. It's like, where am I getting distracted? Where am I on purpose? But I could be kind of drifting a little bit. What does God want for me? What do I learn about God? Well, God is the provider. He's the source of wisdom. He wants what's good for me. But there are all kinds of competing voices out there that don't care about me at all. And who am I going to listen to? Who am I going to follow? And then what's going to be the result of my path? What's at stake here? You know, is it just a meaningless choice? I could do this way or I could do this way. But no, look, there are two different destinations depending on who you listen to. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. That's the Bible's way of saying you're going to flourish. But what's the end result for those who accept folly's invitation? Little do they know that the dead are there. Her guests are in the depths of the grave. It's meaningful. So can you see how, just as I was reading through that and observing, I was like, okay, this is what it means for me. God wants my good, and he doesn't want me to get distracted. Where am I getting distracted? Where could I be thrown off course? I would have gotten none of that if I hadn't been writing in response. So that's why I believe writing is so helpful. It's meditating. Insight grows as the pen flows. You write the scripture. You write what it rightly means. You write what it means for me. And then lastly, and this is where we'll close, you write your Father. You write out a prayer at the end. What do I need to say to God is what you'll see in the bookmark. In experiencing God, they say reword the statement or scripture in a prayer of response. There's that word response again. But what I want you to see is you're writing your Heavenly Father. When Jesus taught us how to pray, he did this. He said, pray like this, our Father in heaven. What was he doing? Right from the start, he was establishing this is a relationship with your Heavenly Father who wants what's best for you. And so when you write out, don't try to be religious. Don't try to write so that somebody else will read it and be impressed. Just pour your heart out to your Father. Write a personal letter. And sometimes I say letter, you know, it's often one sentence. But think of it in the context of relationship rather than a religious exercise. And the last part is, do you know God as your Father? Because it's not automatic. When we say, you know, God loves everyone, that's absolutely true. But to be a child of God is something that is a decision, it's a choice, it's an invitation. In the introduction to the Gospel of John, it says, to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. So if this isn't making sense to you, if this is not at all lining up with your experience, if it just sounds like gobbledygook to you, maybe it's because you don't have yet a relationship with your Heavenly Father. That can be solved today. All you have to do is say yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord. What does that mean? As Savior, you're saying, Lord, I want what you did on the cross, paying the penalty for my sins. I want that to count for me. Not, I know you died for the sins of the whole world. Great. But I want that to count for me. And when you say yes to Jesus as Lord, what you're saying is, I recognize that you are the King of the universe, that my biggest problem is that I've been in rebellion against you. And that's why things have gone sideways in my life. It's because I've been outside of your family. I've been off of your path. And so you come back and you say, yes, Lord. What's the question? I'm going to follow you wholeheartedly from this point on. And he receives you, he adopts you, he marks you as his own, and he promises to carry you successfully the whole way. So say yes to Jesus. You can do that today. In the quietness of your heart, you say yes, and he will answer. He will reply. He will come in and make you new, forgive you, and redirect your life, write a new ending to your story. That's what he will write as you write week in, week out, getting to know your Heavenly Father. So the challenge, read something. The biggest part of the bookmark I gave you is a reading plan. Some of you are already doing life journaling. Some of you are already doing the Bible recap. You've got a plan. Read something and write something. Write something 5 days this week. Try it, because insight grows as the pen flows. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the whole point of this is not as much to establish a spiritual discipline, but to make it so that we meditate on your word and we know you better and experience all the benefits of that. Lord, I pray that you would motivate and encourage us, and that you would speak to us through not just what we experience on Sundays, but what we experience of you and with you every day of the week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. 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 Have a great week.